I was dumbfounded when one of my best friends, Nikolai, invited me to come on a bros trip with him and his other friends to their home country 2 years ago. I always thought I was somewhat on the outside, being a born and bred American in a group full of Bulgarians, but this assured me that they thought of me as one of the lads. I remember Nikolai came over to my place to hang out while I packed. It was not often, since his place was amazing for hosting. His parents, and even his 11-year-old brother, Stephen, often left as a family on weekends, which meant we could drink, smoke, and party as much as we wanted. Nikolai's family left Jacksonville to go to Bulgaria 3 days before the folks our age departed. His mother took a liking to me, and insisted I'd have an easy and relaxing trip, since I was not familiar with anything in the country. Nikolai's friends around our age, however, knew we were in for a series of parties and adventures that we'd be getting absolutely blasted at. Simon, George, and Peppo had been hyping up Pirin National Park to me. They claimed it was a godsend for late night parties, and it was perfect to camp overnight in, although Nikolai was more interested in going to the beach and picking up babes enjoying the Black Sea. He compromised with his boys that we spend at least one evening there. The first few days we spent there was amazing. Mostly the big name attractions in and around Sofia, the capital. The boys showed me a festival where the guys their age would wrestle each other on the street. They participated. The rivalry was about as strong as their friendship. It was hilarious seeing Nikolai suplex Peppo and George full body slam Simon. Where we were staying was a couple of minutes out of the city, but not an inconvenient distance. It was fun, but I could tell that the others were itching to break away from Nikolai's parents and Stephen. Surely enough, we had our chance midway through the trip. I remember vividly when Nikolai and Peppo got some weed off of some local dealers, who apparently used to work for Peppo's uncle. Turns out, being the son of a truck company mogul gave you a ton of connections. Our goal was to get cooked out in Pirin and camp overnight without a care in the world. But then Nikolai's mom threw a wrench in the plans. We had to take Stephen with us for a couple hours while they went to a bar for a parents' night out. George made it no secret that he didn't want Stephen's company. Stephen was old enough to be aware, but much like his older brother, he didn't give two damns about the negative opinions of others. Simon was alright with it, as he was planning on not getting as wasted as the others out there. Pirin itself was absolutely breathtaking. Something about the mountains that aren't the Appalachians hit different. It was definitely a bit chilly, so I was glad I took Nikolai's advice and packed a jacket. The variety of the place was plenty. Trees, fields, tons of rocks, and some lakes and ponds to top it off. The six of us spent most of the day hiking, and I took several mental notes of places off the trails where we could go later. I saw quite a few clearings that would be perfect for a tent. I also noticed it looked like there was some sort of old, abandoned-looking cabin just past the tree line. Maybe an old ranger outpost? On one of the trails, we encountered a very worn and battered sign, and next to it, a cluster of what I could only assume were missing children's posters. I couldn't read the sign, but the others insisted on translating for me. George, patriotic as ever, boasted he could provide the most accurate translation. "Do not leave your children alone. Keep in close contact with your child at all times." Stephen was visibly confused, huddling closely to Nikolai. I was having a hard time wrapping my head around why a child would be a target in this area. We decided, against better judgment, to continue with the plan. Nikolai insisted we could still have our part of the plan once Stephen went to sleep. I never knew it myself, but apparently he could sleep through a lot of noise. The night quickly approached, and we managed to find ourselves a nice clearing that gave an excellent view of the stars and the moon. We made a fire and told stories around it. Stephen got tired fairly quickly, and we knew that the night was just beginning for us boys. We waited for Stephen to fall asleep before we busted out the weed. We wasted no time having two joints among the five of us, and we were feeling quite the effects of it. We began to blindly wander into the woods, with the exception of Simon, who stayed to tend the fire. I stayed close with Nikolai, talking about random philosophy while Pepo and George were bickering about something as a pair about 100 meters apart. The beauty and peacefulness of the clearing we just left disappeared as soon as I stepped into the tree line. Something was here. Maybe an animal. I felt a primal sense of wariness take over me, but I did my best to keep it concealed. Was it just a bad strain of weed? I noticed a warm glow in the distance. I was equal parts intrigued and confused, but as we got closer, I recognized what we were getting into. We stumbled upon the weird cabin I saw earlier. Bizarrely enough, it looked furnished. It even had lights on inside. We kept our distance, the others noticed too, and changed course. From what I could observe, there was a strange essence in the house. It was grotesque looking, rubbed me the wrong way. I wanted to keep away from it, but talking Nikolai out of going right up to the house was like pulling teeth. He was usually completely unable to negotiate with, but he'd often compromise for me, the friendliest American he knew. It was eerie. I felt like there was an entity in the woods, glaring at Nikolai and I, judging us for what we saw. Nikolai chalked it up to the weed, but I think he was trying to convince himself more than me. I kept looking over my shoulder towards the strange cabin, expecting something to jump at me. I've struggled with anxiety, but this felt more like being stalked by a predator. This fear was reacting to something tangible. Boom! I heard something loud behind me, and saw that the doors of the cabin swung wide open and we felt a gust of wind blast from in front of us. Then they slammed shut as loudly as they opened with another boom. We heard Simon screaming, and we all immediately ran towards the camp. It was a sobering moment. Upon reaching the camp, the fire was toppled. There was a massive hole in the side of one of the tents. Simon was shivering and whimpering and had deep cuts on the palm of his right hand. He was distraught, and the boys went full Bulgarian to calm him down. He kept pointing at the tent, trying to form words, and eventually it came out. Stephen was missing. Nikolai paced, spraying out frantic words in his native tongue. Pepo did his best to calm him down in plain English, but it wasn't working. George and I wrapped up Simon's hand. The wound was bizarre. It was one clean cut, and it was slimy, like someone had drooled all over it. Simon was in shock, and given how deep the wound was, it was a combination of physical and psychological injury. Simon eventually began talking, saying that he had to take a pee, but didn't leave the clearing. His back was initially turned away from Stephen's tent, and when he turned around to return to camp, he saw a figure in a massive rugged cloak sniffing at the tent. He said that it repeated the same thing over and over in their language. Child, child, child. Simon tried getting the jump on the figure, but a massive tongue shot out from its mouth, slicing Simon's hand wide open. As he inspected his hand, the figure tore through the tent and took Stephen. Stephen apparently didn't wake up, as he was thrown into a sack, and together they seemingly vanished with the wind. Nikolai lunged at Simon, spewing out what I could only imagine was rage and profanity. Pepo and George restrained him. Nikolai cared deeply about his brother, even if they were a decade apart. I knew that Nikolai wanted to teach Stephen Taekwondo and wrestling, that he wanted to give Stephen his old 1997 Nissan Skyline when he was old enough to drive. It had crushed Nikolai if he couldn't show his brother these great things. I understood his anger, but I'm not sure what Simon could have done against that thing. From its description, it sounded like a witch from an old children's tale. I couldn't stop thinking amongst the panic that maybe the house had a clue. Something about it seemed supernatural, but I felt we had strength in numbers. With no one no longer needing to look after the camp, I proposed we all investigate the house, and fast. I was met with a surprising amount of support. The boys always calling me the cautious kid, and they were satisfied with me proposing something so courageous. I didn't think weed could be scared out of your system, but my body no longer felt the effects. We hastily packed ourselves up. No time was wasted as we charged into the woods, heading straight for the cabin. fear was clawing at me, but I had to push through for my friends. I could tell from their expressions that they were scared witless too, but Stephen was counting on us. We heard a shriek, followed by some cackling blast through the woods at us. It scared the hell out of us, but again, we had to power through. Something unexplainable was just beyond these woods. I could see the trees ending, and I knew we were close. However, something was off. The house was gone, but a bunch of things were scattered on the ground. They looked like rocks, eggs, bags. We held our breath in a massive amount of confusion and dread. Were we hallucinating before? Nikolai was sweating profusely, his glassy eyes bulging as he scanned the clearing. He kept screaming Stephen's name over and over. Peppa noticed something strange. On the other side of the clearing, there were tracks. They were massive, at least 6 feet, and bird-like. They trailed into the woods on the other side of the clearing. I was concerned about the weird things on the ground in the clearing, because they smelled rotten. I cautiously approached, but Nikolai and Peppo charged straight forward, yelling for Stephen. Peppo began to get sick from the smell and vomited. George laughed at him. Nikolai hacked and gagged, but kept it together. The things on the ground were massive, burlap bags. I tapped one with my foot, and it felt like there was something heavy but thin in it. I held my breath and opened the bag. The smell got even worse. Then I saw it. It was a small corpse. The meat looked like it was chewed right off of most of it. Its eyes were missing. Its cheeks looked like it was cruelly bitten off. Bones were intact. This kid must have been only 8 or 9. I screamed and kicked the bag away. George curiously opened a bag, and judging by his reaction, he discovered something similar. I never imagined seeing a dead child, much less an eaten one. What kind of sick thing would eat children? I nearly got sick myself. The images of the missing children posters rushed through my head. None of those children were coming back, were they? But then, I saw one of the bags moving. Nikolai noticed too, and quickly rushed to it. He ripped the bag right open. And inside was Stephen. And he was alive. He had heavy bruising on some of his body, but no bite marks. He was panicked and clutching a severed finger from what looked like an elderly lady. He quickly tossed the finger away, and it turned into a twisted bush of roses the minute it hit the ground. There was no point in going for the tracks, and we got Stephen out of there, and that's what mattered. Stephen told us that he woke up in a cottage, with his legs tied together. He saw an, quote, ugly old lady, eat a baby with a sharp teeth and long tongue. Stephen said he tried using a move he saw from his older brother wrestling Peppo, and then bit off the finger of that witch. She shrieked, stuffed him in the bag, and threw him out the window, along with the finished snacks of the day. The night was still somewhat young, but it was going to end that way. I never packed up and ran back to a house that fast. All the boys, even the more mature ones like George or Peppo, looked sick and somber for the rest of the night. The rest of the trip was us doing our damnedest to get that distinguishing image and shock out of our systems. Even deep in all sorts of substances and vices, a feeling of dread and paranoia stuck on all of us like a curse. While we managed to get Stephen back, could have shaken the feeling that whatever was out there wasn't done with him yet. During the last night I stayed in Bulgaria, I couldn't sleep. It usually happened on the last night of a trip. There seemed to be a light shining through my window that wasn't there before. The sun had set hours ago. I was content with merely shutting the blinds and attempting to sleep again, but curiosity had its grip on me. I went to investigate. I saw a familiar glow of a furnished house in the distance, just beyond the tree line.